Morning and welcome. Several years ago, I was reading a news story from my hometown. The article was about a local Jewish synagogue, which for a variety of reasons had experienced such a decline in its membership that the remaining members had to sell off the property. This particular synagogue had actually been sold to a Protestant denomination, which was in need of a larger building for its worship services. The news article spoke of how the rabbi of this former synagogue was giving a tour of the building to its new future owners, while explaining some of the different areas of the building. What I remember most from this article was the description given about the area in a synagogue where they had kept the Torah, which is a set of scrolls comprised of the sacred word of God. In this particular area, carved into the stone wall, was the Hebrew phrase, "Remember before whom you stand." This phrase actually brings together several Old Testament verses and events. In particular, it recalls to mind that moment when Moses stood before the burning bush and heard the voice of God speaking to him. As I had mentioned, it has been several years since I first read that news article, and yet this phrase, "remember before whom you stand," remains with me, and I oftentimes repeat it to myself, particularly when I stand before God in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. I share this with all of you because as I have been preparing, praying, and studying over the parable of the Pharisee and a tax collector, I can't help but to constantly be reminded of this phrase, "remember before whom you stand." Last weekend, we were introduced to the Evangelist Luke's teaching on prayer, beginning with a lesson on persistence. This weekend, Luke shifts the focus from being persistent in prayer to emphasizing the spirit that one should have when we pray, by presenting to us the prayers of two very different individuals, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee represents a form of Judaism that required a strict observance of the law. Because of their knowledge of the law, the Pharisees also tended to function as both civic and religious leaders among the Jewish people. Tax collectors, on the other hand, were despised among the Jewish people. Some of the main reasons are because they were viewed as traitors who chose to work closely with the Roman authorities who ruled over the area. Tax collectors were also viewed as taking advantage of the people by placing heavier tax burdens upon the people than what the law demanded, so that they could keep some of the money collected for their own personal gains. It is also good for us to remember that when Jesus teaches us this parable of the Pharisee and a tax collector, he is directing it towards those who were convinced of their own righteousness while despising everyone else around them. We see this rather clearly when we begin to listen to the prayers of these two individuals, beginning with the Pharisee, who, after entering the temple area, takes his place and begins his prayer by praying to himself. This is considered to be Luke's way of giving us an indication of the self-centered nature of the Pharisee's prayer. Not only is the Pharisee self-centered in his prayer, but he also places himself in the place of God by passing judgment upon the rest of humanity. The Pharisee considers himself righteous by first focusing upon the sins of others, even to the point of commenting upon a tax collector who, even though he is in a temple area, he stands off at a distance from the Pharisee. Then the Pharisee continues in his prayer by bragging about his righteousness. He perceives himself to be righteous because not only does he uphold the law, but because he actually goes above and beyond what the law dictates with regards to tithing and fasting. Yet in the end, Jesus tells us that it is the tax collector who will go home justified, not the Pharisee. Why is that? Maybe the answer can be found in St. Paul's farewell address to Timothy, particularly when we hear Paul praying for those who have abandoned him in his time of need. Paul believes that the end of his life is close at hand. In his letter to Timothy, Paul reflects upon the trials that he has endured up to this point in his life. By recalling to mind how at his first defense, there was no one who had appeared on his behalf, but rather everyone had deserted him. Paul's reaction to those who have abandoned him is not to pass judgment upon them, nor is it for him to make himself appear to be better than them. Instead, he chooses to pray for them. Paul prays that this offense will not be held against them. Paul prays for God's mercy upon those who have abandoned him in his time of need. Could the Pharisee have gone home justified if instead of pointing out the flaws of others, he would have instead prayed on their behalf for God to show them mercy? Unfortunately, when the Pharisee prays, his focus isn't strictly upon the one before whom he stands, nor is it upon showing mercy to others. Rather, he looks to the sins of others in order to build himself up as being righteous. The tax collector, on the other hand, he recognizes before whom he stands to such a degree that he stands back at a distance. He doesn't even lift up his head. He does not compare himself to anyone else, nor does he brag about any good that he may have done in observance of the law. Instead, he acknowledges his need for mercy, and he asks for God's mercy by very simply praying, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." For this he was exalted. May we always have the courage to stand before our God and to ask for his mercy upon us as well.